Welcome to Breakthrough Success. I'm your host, Mark Roberti, the content marketing expert, bringing you 5 new episodes every week where I and top-level guests teach you how to take your business to the next level and achieve your breakthrough. Hello, Breakthrough Success listeners. I just wanted you all to know before the episode actually starts, I've been working a little bit behind the scenes to give you something really special. So a while ago, I wrote my book, Content Marketing Secrets, which helps people create, promote, and optimize their content for growth and revenue. And I just put the finishing touches together to offer that for free to anyone who is interested. So if you want your free copy of Content Marketing Secrets, all you have to do is head over to markgoberti.com/book. Now, let's jump right into the episode. It's one thing to have a business that is generating a lot of revenue. It's something completely different to be growing a profitable business. How do you keep the revenue that your business is making? And that is going to be the main focus for this episode. Today's guest is a focused, motivated, and dedicated business coach. Through her work, she empowers creative entrepreneurs to build the life and business that they've always wanted. In addition to business coaching, she is a national board member of the Interior Design Society and the current and founding president of the Interior Design Society virtual chapter. Today's guest for episode 192 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than Nancy Ganzkofer. Nancy, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you, Mark. Oh my God, I love your energy.
Nancy, I'm really looking forward to the show. And a lot of people want to know like how to grow a business, but we know it's not just about growing a business. It's also about growing a profitable one. We're going to be focusing on that in this episode. But before we get started, just so Breakthrough Success listeners know who they are hearing from, who is going to give them all these great insights, I'd like to get some background. So can you share with us your journey as a business coach and why you decided to pursue that path?
Well, I mean, basically, I'm finally landed where I've always supposed to be. But my journey started, like many, in the corporate world. I was in the corporate banking world for about 10 years. I landed as a first vice president in charge of the mortgage servicing department, managing 3 departments of 150 people in total. And then, like many women, started to have children and did have to leave at one point because my 3rd child was born with a heart anomaly and had to have open heart surgery. And he's fine today, but he was quarantined for 2 years. So that left me home-based for about 2 years. Talk about a businesswoman chomping at the bit, but family first. So stayed home for 2 years until he was well, and then started selling my mother's artwork. My mother is an artist living in Las Vegas, and she called me one day and said, I am giving away my artwork. And I said, why would you do that? Send it to me. I'll figure out how to sell it. So I knew nothing about art, but I was a businesswoman. So I started selling artwork at home art parties. And one day an interior designer walked into a party, which, by the way, the years of the parties were quite pathetic. I'd work 60 hours, make 60 bucks. My mother would make 60 bucks. And I was thinking, this is ridiculous. So lots of naysayers in my life, but I kept saying, you know what? I know I'm onto something. I'm just waiting for it to appear. And when this interior designer walked into a party and said, that's the perfect piece of artwork for my client. Can you bring it to the house? I said, sure. And she said, can you help us frame it? I said, no problem. I knew nothing about framing. So I went to a local framer. I said, can you help me out? And we figured it out together. From that point forward, I realized that interior designers were my ideal target market because they already had the clients who were willing to pay for a service of a shop at home for art and framing. So Expressive Living was born. That business I ran for 15 years. In growing that business, as I always tell my coaching clients, find where your ideal client hangs out. So I went looking for an interior design organization. And I found the Interior Design Society Long Island chapter, which is where I am in New York. And I joined, I became vice president, then president, then I became a national board member. And now recently in January, I started the virtual chapter. And I closed Expressive Living about 8 months ago, because 2.5 years ago, after working with interior designers for 15 years and industry partners, they're called, people who service the interior designers, really struggle growing their businesses. And they kept coming to me for advice, and I was giving away advice right and left and seeing the results of that advice. And I decided, let me hang my shingle as a coach and actually start doing this instead of carrying shit around for a living, which is what I did before. Heavy stuff, 500 pieces of artwork, framing, and then I was handling accessories at that point also. And so gratefully, the interior designers started coming to me and saying, you know what, I'm so glad I can actually pay you now for the advice. And it's been 2.5 years, and I don't just coach interior designers. My coaching business was profitable within 1.5 years, and that's a skill I like to teach also. So I work with interior designers. I work with web designers. I work with branding specialists, artists, other coaches, other online marketers, Instagram, you know, marketing specialists, and I'm helping them grow their businesses. And I just finally love what I do every day.
And those are words that, like, you hear them, and if you, better yet, you're able to say them. Like, I love what I'm doing every day. Like, that's what life is all about, just being able to love what you're doing every day. And it just does make life a lot better. But before you were able to reach this current status, you talked about like a big challenge like you face. Like, there are people, like, I have them on the show, like, it's a business challenge or something like that. But your third child having open heart surgery, I mean, it's great to hear that the child is fine now, but how are you able to power through that challenge? Because I can only imagine what something like that would be like.
Yeah, that was real. Those were really tough years. I had two older ones at the time. I had a 5.5 and a 3.5-year-old also, and a child that was quarantined for 2 years. And it was a really upsetting time. And, you know, now he's 18. He's in the house with me now. He's home from his first year of college. And he's well. So thankfully for us, it was a full repair that they were able to achieve. And it was a moment in time where I learned an awful lot about medical stuff that I never wanted to know.
And it's just great to hear the transformation in your child, because you hate to hear, like, anything bad happening to anyone, but especially, like, that early in life. And it's good to hear that transformation happened.
Thank you. Yes, I'm very pleased. I had this little, somebody gave me this little plaque that said, I believe in miracles. And I thought, I hope I believe in miracles. And when he actually made it through, and 18.5, almost 19 years later, I actually believe in miracles. He was not supposed to make it, and he did. And he's a great kid. Great kid.
Great to hear.
Musical theater major. So he puts a lot of personality into the family.
Well, again, like, that transformation, like, congratulations on, like, because I know it's like stuff like that. I can just imagine how stressful it would be during that time. But I'd like to shift back to the profitable business point, because I know a lot of people want to know how to make their businesses grow, but in addition to growing, also make them profitable. So what do you see as some of the key parts of the foundation for profitable businesses?
You know, what I created a PDF that's called the Profit Puzzle. And I did lay out, okay, so I had also somewhere in there, I did personal fitness instructing. I was a personal trainer for a couple of years. So, and that was a profitable business for me also. So I thought to myself, what made all these businesses profitable? And the first step was definitely creating that roadmap that I thought was my roadmap to success, right? Create my vision, my 3-year plan, my 1-year plan, my 90-day plan, but also keeping my eyes wide open during the process of growth and looking to see openly what other opportunities I might be missing. And that was a perfect example of what I did with the art consulting business. I mean, I started out home art parties. I'm sticky tacking art to people's walls. They're coming, they're drinking wine and cheese and have, you know, buying a piece of art for 10 bucks, or 20 bucks. And I just thought, you know what, I'm just going to keep doing this until I see something that opens up my eyes to another opportunity. So you want to do that roadmap to success, but you also want to realize you need to be flexible, and that is not set in stone, and it needs to morph as you see more opportunities. So that's number one. And then again, you know, you identify your ideal client once, but sometimes you have to identify your ideal client and continue to hone it down. You know, I always say niche is rich and broad is broke, and that applies mostly to your marketing for me. Right. So I market January through June to interior designers. And I'm very niched down in that, like that's who I'm trying to attract. But because of my messaging, often I've gotten other internet-based entrepreneurs coming to me, or even brick and mortar, because they're listening to my messaging. So you want to identify your ideal client and you want to be where they are. Again, as I gave you the example, when I figured out that my ideal target market were interior designers, I went right to where do they hang out? And where do they hang out online? Where do they hang out in person? And I made sure that I was there and I got involved. And then, of course, it's the typical creating your signature message, you know, making sure you can say clearly what you do, for whom, and how you do it, so that people can actually imagine working with you. It's an exercise I have on my website. It's free. It's called Your Business in Words. It's sort of like an elevator speech, but yet not. It puts it in the perspective of when you're introducing yourself, someone can truly get to know your personality, who you work with, what your process is, so they can visualize working with you. And then the excitement around having success. So there's so many, there's like 9 puzzle pieces to this. You're creating your ladder of services, creating 3 levels of service. So when someone does call you for your service and they don't fit into just one thing, you know, I see a lot of people selling only one rollout at the moment, and that's what they're really focused on. I tend not to do it that way. I tend to have at least 3 things going on to make sure that I'm placing a person into the right program, not trying to force them into a program that I'm trying to sell out at the moment. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Okay. So I have different levels of service. So after a consultation, I can say, would you like to work with me further? And then I will tell them, I think you fit into this, as opposed to going, these are the 3 things I offer. Which do you want? Mm-hmm. I literally will say, this is the one I think would be best for you. And I truly mean that. I don't try to put anybody into something that they don't need. And then of course, you know, growing your client base, keeping that visibility up. You want to always have your visibility high so that you can continue to grow your email list, grow your Instagram or Facebook or LinkedIn or whatever you're on, or all the above, and make sure you're growing that. And then, you know, sharing compelling content. People don't hire you for information. They hire you for implementation. So I always make sure I share as much content as I can share, because I realize, you know, I have a lot to offer, as most people who are listening do. They're creating a ton of content, so they have a lot to share. But when it comes time for when people need to do it themselves and they get stuck, that's what they hire you for. So that's just some of them. And then, of course, nailing your sales closing conversations. That's one that really intimidates a lot of people. And that's not hard to do if you're doing it right and if you're doing it authentically in a non-salesy way. So I teach people all these things in order to make sure that they are successful. And then, of course, it's establishing successful systems, you know, making sure you know what your profit is, know your numbers, eliminate expenses that aren't necessary. I mean, I go through this with my client, and I find my clients, and I find out how many programs they have bought that overlap each other, and they're still paying for things. So we look at all of that.
And you hit on a lot of the great essentials for just a side note before we continue. For anyone who wants to become one of Nancy's clients, you can head over to businesscoachnancy.com/consult. She has a 50-minute coaching call there at a reduced cost if you go over on that URL. So for anyone who's interested in being one of Nancy's clients, and you could obviously keep this in mind as we continue, but I feel like one of the big things with profitable businesses and why people don't get there is because there's just so much to do and we're not really doing the important things. So in the sea of distraction and all the possible things we could be doing, how can we stay focused on what's truly important, the few things that are going to lead to the biggest profit?
You know, if you've been in business for a while, you really have to analyze where you've gotten your business from before and where you haven't gotten any. So you want to drop the activities that haven't been profitable for you and focus more on the activities that have been profitable for you. You know, sometimes people just like to do something over and over again. It's just their comfort zone, so they spend a lot of time on it. I use my calendar. It's very tight. When I'm on Facebook, I always say, why am I here? Why am I here? What am I looking to accomplish? Every conversation before I get on it, what am I looking to relay in this conversation? Once I've accomplished it, that conversation is over. You know, like I really, when you're growing a business, you have to give up the non-essentials. And even when it comes to balancing your personal life, I'm all for balancing your personal life, taking time off and relaxing or doing some fun things, whatever you need to do. But you have to set some rules for yourself in order to make sure what you're working on is the essentials and it's a profitable activity for you in the long run, right? So again, people get lost on social media, right? I'm there half an hour in the morning, half an hour in the middle of the day, if I can, half an hour at night, max. But as you do start making a profit, you do, it's smart to bring on assistants. I have 3 assistants at this point, and I make sure that all the activities they're working on are either an essential to running my business, or it's something that has made me a profit in the past and it's worth their time and me paying them. So it always has to start with you analyzing your activities that way. And then as you start growing in staff, making sure you're doing the same with them, analyzing whether that is going to make you money in the long run.
And I really like the approach of having to have a clear purpose for each action, for each call, for each initiative. And you mentioned the balancing the personal life and taking some time off. And I think that's something we should all be doing. Like taking that time off, it does help you recharge and approach your work with more vigor. But in your case, you're the mom of 3 young adults. We talked a little bit about this earlier, but one of the things that I'm wondering is, it's not just finding time for your family and your clients. It's also finding time to grow your business, to get more clients. So how do you find the time for your children, the clients who you currently have, and growing your business so you get more product sales, more clients, and things like that?
Again, managing my time very closely. I mean, my kids are all out of the house except my son when he's back from college, but I speak to them over the phone. I always make time. I block out times on my calendar to speak to my parents who live in Vegas, my sisters who live in Seattle and Atlanta, and I'm here in New York to speak to my kids who are all over. I make sure I block out time and I really do keep my weekends free. But when it comes to growing my business, you know what? I'm a lucky one. I don't need that much sleep. So I literally have my mornings. I wake up, I'm in the shower, dishes, laundry, while I'm listening to podcasts or while I'm listening to a book on tape. I get on the treadmill sometimes, not so much as much so much lately. But I'm up at my desk and I just have my routine. You know, did you ever read The Perfect Day Formula? I forget who the author is at the moment. I might have it on my shelf. It's when you've gone to bed at the end of the night and you thought, I had such a great productive day. Why did that happen? What did I do in that day that allowed that to be? And you start to try to duplicate those habits on your working days to make sure that every day is productive.
And I really like that idea of the perfect day. I was trying to think, I felt like I read the book before, but I have not. I was doing a mental check. So I will include that book in the show notes. And in addition to that book, I'm wondering if you could share two more books that you believe will have a positive impact on us.
Okay, so the other book that I love is Profit First. And by the way, I fall asleep when I read, so I do everything on Audible. Audible app is incredible. I can listen to the books on 1.5 speed at the non-essential parts. I can listen to it at 2.0 speed, and I can get through a ton of books. So Profit First by Michael McCullough.
He's a good friend.
Love that book. And here's one for someone who maybe every time they start getting success or getting to a new level of happiness in their life, somehow they never quite make it past the ceiling. There's a book called The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks that I loved. And it talks a lot about how when you get to certain levels of happiness or success or financial profitability, somehow, why don't you ever make it to that higher level? And it could be coming from some type of, story from your past that you're used to living. And it helps you get to the bottom of that. And I didn't think I had any ceilings, right? I was one of those, I don't have any of that. When I listened to that book, I identified with so much of it. And when I recognized that there were people in my life that I could be leaving behind emotionally as I continued to be more successful, and recognized that, I thought, that's okay. I'm still here for them, but now I'm here for them at a whole different level. And I was able to push past some of the blocks that were stopping me from getting more profitable and growing my business even larger. And as soon as I started to get in touch with that, my business exploded and I didn't stop.
Nancy, thank you for sharing those great book recommendations. And those will be in the show notes, markaberti.com/E192 for anyone who is interested. And if you guys want a book on how to create, promote, and optimize your content for growth and revenue, you can grab my book, Content Marketing Secrets, over at markaberti.com/book. And one of the things that I'm wondering, and I feel like a lot of people are wondering when it comes to growing a profitable business, not everyone's there. Some people, they're trying to grow their businesses. Others are doing good with the growing the business thing, but they're not necessarily making a profit. So what do you believe holds most business owners back from having profitable businesses?
Fear of charging too much.
That's a good
one. Fear of charging too much. You know what? I did free consults for 2 years. And those 20-minute consults turned into an hour because I'm very giving. I gave. And I'm good at sales, so a lot of them converted to clients. But at some point, I thought, I'm going to start charging for my consultations. And I was scared to death. I thought, oh my God, no one's going to get on my calendar. I pushed through the fear. I set it up. I did my webinars, my Facebook Lives, my joint Facebook Lives, all my marketing things. And my calendar is steadily full of consults. And it is a true 50 minutes of coaching. At the end, literally all I say is, would you like to know how you can work with me further? I think it took me having a great support system to push past that fear of charging more. You know what? There's no glory in being the cheapest on the block. And people don't always value your service if you're charging too little. So if you can push past the fear and charge more for what you do, you'd be surprised how much more profitable you become.
And that is a really interesting idea for coaches, because a very popular format is you do that free 20 to 30 minutes. Some people do 60 minutes. Just a consult, and as like a little free test ride to see how the relationship would be if you decide to hire as a coach, the person as a coach. And it's really interesting to charge for that initial consult, but at the same time, I can see people putting skin in the game, whether it's even if it's not as much as compared to the coaching, they get more comfortable spending good amounts of money with you.
Well, yeah, I mean, and think about it, Mark, you can be 100% yourself and share your knowledge if you're being paid for a consult, where sometimes if you're not being paid, you could be feeling slightly resentful. This person's asking you a lot of questions and you're trying to keep them in that sales conversation. It literally eliminates the sales conversation when you just charge for your consult instead of just, well, what are you looking for? What can I help you with? What's your vision of the future? Like that whole salesy feeling. It's literally, what can I help you with today? And you're truly giving of your information because you're being paid. And if they take that information and they go do it, you're happy that they did and that you were able to move them. And if they're right for one of your programs or for one of your products, you can direct them to that. And you've already now shown your value. And that makes them want to buy what you have to offer even more.
And it's interesting how you mentioned taking the sales out of the conversation. And when it is a free call, like I feel like you, like the... especially people who have seen this happen more often, you kind of know what to expect on the call. You know to expect some pitch during a free call. And it is interesting when you take the pitch out of it. And as you said, like, if you're interested in working with me more, let me know. Like, nothing too deep. So I really like that approach for the consults and building the relationship and getting coaching clients.
It will change the face of anyone's business when they start charging. Now, granted, you need to be having traffic, right? So traffic, it took me 2 years because I wanted to make sure I had enough traffic coming to me, right? You can't, if you have one person on your calendar a month for a consult, you certainly don't want to start charging, right? But I was ending up with 19, 20 and it was killing my time and killing my productivity and it wasn't making me feel authentic because I was trying to stick to that 20 minutes and it was definitely more of a salesy feeling, right? Because how much can I move somebody in 20 minutes? But give me 50 and I've got this. And I can literally change, you know, the way people are doing business, give them a lot of ideas, give them thoughts, give them direction for them to go and do on their own, or they can do it on their own and they can follow up with me with further coaching should they want to.
And again, I like that sense of permission marketing is really powerful where it's not like you pushing them, it's you just presenting the opportunity saying you can do this with me more if you want to.
Yeah. Would you like to know more about how you can continue working with me? That's literally all I say. And if they say, no, not right now, you actually gave me enough to do, I'll say, okay, go off and do. You know where to find me, you know? So it works really well. But it is a higher closing rate just naturally because they can see how knowledgeable you are in your profession and what you do, and that they actually want to work with you. And once you've had that person take out their credit card once, you know they're serious about helping themselves. They're not just a tire kicker. You know they want to help themselves, and they're ready to learn, they're ready to listen, and they're ready to invest in it. So that's a really important distinction as well.
And I mean, these are really great insights that you're sharing with the listeners. And I've asked you several questions throughout like this entire episode, chock full of a lot of value. But what do you believe is one question that we need to be asking ourselves more often?
One question. That's a good question. One question we need to be asking ourselves more often. What more do you need to learn to take it to the next level? I think that's really important because I'm always in learning mode. If I learn, I always learn more of what I can teach my clients. I always hone my skill. So every day I think, what more can I learn today that I can then pass on to my clients? So making sure that you have that time to learn and hone your skill every week in addition to growing your business, making a profit, working with clients, managing your life is really important, even if it's a half an hour to an hour a week. So that's where like my Audible will come in, or listening to podcasts or other people's webinars. I make sure I make time in every week for that.
Nancy, that is a really great question. And that whole idea of getting to the next level by just acquiring as much knowledge as possible. And of course, implementing is a really great insight in addition to all of the other ones that you shared during this episode. And for anyone who wants to keep tabs with Nancy and see what she's doing, you can head over to businesscoachnancy.com. And if you want a 50-minute coaching call with her at a big discount, you can also head over to businesscoachnancy.com/consult if you want that 50-minute coaching call with her. All of those links will be in the show notes, markbrady.com/E192. Nancy, it was such a pleasure to have you on Breakthrough Success. We're very grateful for all the insights you shared with us today.
Thank you for having me, Mark. This was a lot of fun, and I hope I was able to move a couple of people just by listening to this.
How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn